Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo. Too much to do, talk about to screw around, all killer, no filler.
What?
Let's
Why?
Get this show.
Did something happen?
Lots.
Oh,
what do you want to talk about first?
Oh, jeebus. Well, let's talk about the network, since it just happened.
Okay, go. What are they actually calling it now? It's not called the network.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a WWE network. It's the over-the-top network.
Mm-hmm.
That was what they kept saying on the press conference, was that they were going over the top.
Mm-hmm.
No word on if, on the network, both feet have hit the floor.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, they've gone over the top.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. So that means Sylvester Stallone's going to make a guest appearance, right?
And Terry Funk.
Yeah, yeah.
Possibly Bam Bam Bigelow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Scott Norton.
Yes, yeah, Flash Norton. That's right. Ryback.
Yeah, well, arm Russell Norton.
Titus O'Neil. yes. Yes. But to the network, $9.99 a month for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sign up for 6 months.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. What do you think of that?
That's brilliant.
I think so, too.
That's brilliant. I mean, that's your... So now it's like to sign up, you're plunking down $60 to sign up, basically. So
yeah, so people can't sign up, watch a pay-per-view or two, and get out. You can't just sign up, watch Mania, and get out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They can pay for Mania, basically, and not get on there at all,
yeah.
Right? So, yeah, I think that's a smart way to do it. And you're paying $9.99 still per month, so it's spread out over the month. Like, it's,
yeah.
You're not really...
So it's not like Netflix and that it actually is month to month, but it's fine because, I mean, it's small chunks. Now we're talking about for half a year... You are committed to what you would buy one pay-per-view for.
That makes me...
One HD pay-per-view.
That does make me scared.
What?
That you have to commit.
Well, yeah. I get that. Or dudes, after all. But nevertheless, think of it more like your cell phone than your marriage.
Oh. Which one? I mean, which cell phone?
Oh, yeah. Of course. Of course. You're not Ric Flair, after all.
He wasn't there at the network launch. He was on Raw, but he was there on the network launch.
He was not there, you mean?
He was not there, no.
No, yeah.
No, but, I mean, so we've got, $9.99 a month for 6 months. You got to do it. WrestleMania is going to be on the network. In fact, like, and I've heard people saying, what are they going to do next year when Mania is not on the network? The way that they sold...
Well, you heard it first here. We were the first ones to have that conversation.
The way that they sold it on...
It was a little prop.
Well, yes, but the way they sold it on the press conference is you will receive all 12 WWE monthly pay-per-views on the network. That's how it was sold.
And considering there's 13 or 14, maybe a couple are special events?
Well, I don't know, and that's... Who knows? That's what they don't know. But they said you will receive all 12 monthly pay-per-views on the network.
WrestleMania is going to have to stay on the network.
Including WrestleMania. Like, I think it's going to have to.
Yeah, it's going to have to.
And
like you say, people will revolt if you take it away.
Yeah. And, I mean, exactly. It's one of those that... but the smart thing is, you really now you've had two, maybe three if you include the Royal Rumble, but... I mean, you include the Royal Rumble, three really hotter, higher pay-per-view bought events.
Yeah.
And that's WrestleMania and SummerSlam. And if you're buying for 6 months and you're starting this launch in February, that's going to bring you right to SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Or right, if they're smart, they'll move it to right, it'll expire right before SummerSlam, so you got to re-up for another 6 months.
Well, no, I mean, how it is right now, I mean, if you get it at Mania... That's in April, right?
Mania is in April, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it'll come to the end at the end of September.
Yeah, yeah, end of October, yeah, or yeah, end of September. Right?
End of September, really, yeah. So I mean, it's really what you're looking at, or early October.
Well,
like
that's
that.
If you buy it for the Mania, but if you buy it for this launch, like I think they're gonna, you get like a lot of people when it first comes out, right? You're gonna get this swarm of people
yeah,
going.
You're
going
to get 250,000, 300,000 people.
Yeah, and then you're going to probably get another 250,000, 300,000 people when WrestleMania comes.
No, you aren't.
Well, actually, you know, you're probably going to get another 150,000.
Because it's
yeah.
launching 14 hours before WrestleMania.
No, no.
No?
No. It goes live at 11:06 Eastern Time on February 24th, right after Raw goes off the air.
Okay.
So no overrun on that Raw, spoiler alert. Or a five-minute overrun, as it were.
Yeah.
14 hours before that, 9 a.m. Eastern,
oh.
on February 24th, is when they open the floodgates to say, sign the fuck up.
Ah, okay.
So, but again, you're going to have 14 hours for everybody who wants to get on the debut.
Okay.
Right? Which is going to be a lot. Again, people want to see.
It's going to be 125 to 150,000 then.
Yeah.
So there'll be about 300, 350,000 then by the end of WrestleMania. End of 2014, somewhere around probably 450, 500.
1 to 2 million?
No.
Oh. Because that's the document that they filed with the Securities Commission indicating that they feel this will be a success.
They believe that it's going to get 1 to 2 million by the end of 2014. They believe they'll regularly have between 2 to 3 million, and they won't. Actually, they might eventually get to that, but not that quickly.
Director of distribution is Hacksaw Jim Duggan, because right now this is only available in the USA. USA. But ironic, by the way, that that USA song was developed in England. But anyway, not available in England, not available for us good people up here in Canada.
Well, and I talked about last week, you mentioned you were on Netflix. I asked if you're on the Canadian or American, because, of course, we're here in Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Yes.
You know, lovely, warm Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
4 degrees.
Yeah. Celsius.
Yes.
But, yeah, which for us is actually great right
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And nobody's complaining. But, I mean, I watch American Netflix and the Canadian Netflix on my smart TV. I have it set up for the Canadian Netflix, and on my Xbox, I have it set up for the American Netflix simply by changing my IP address and proxy. And so, I mean, I imagine we'll be able to do that in Canada and the rest of the world in order to get the WWE Network.
Yeah.
And even if I can't figure it out, and if you can't do it the same way as you can do the Netflix, by the time that Mania comes around, between the launch and Mania, I guarantee you there'll be hundreds and hundreds of ways to do it, blogs, articles, YouTube videos, and whatever. So we will probably be watching this thing immediately.
Yeah.
I don't imagine we'll be – maybe it'll take us 48 hours longer than the launch, but that's about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, no, that's going to be – that's it. Let's see. I'm just trying to think of what they did in the press conference launch. Great hype video.
Yeah, you actually watched the whole press conference.
Yeah, I watched the press conference. It's about a little bit less than an hour. Again, great hype video. This is what WWE did.
That's what they do.
All
that.
The celebrity stuff and the Make-A-Wish stuff. Like, it was like a five.
Star.
It was like a 10-minute video.
Yeah.
Hype video. It was great. But I think the big thing with the network, though, is the from what I can see in this thing's pretty state of the art. Like, this thing seems to be pretty industry leading in terms of.
I am not worried about, despite ROH, I am not worried about internet streaming problems.
Well, I'm just thinking of the stuff you can do. They're going to have 24-hour-a-day scheduled programming.
Yes.
Okay. That you can stream live as it's happening. Get text message to your phone to say, fuck, Total Divas is on. Mo, don't miss it.
Never do.
So he can get there.
But say I want to watch it the next day, I can still grab it.
It's going to be right out of bed.
It's more convenient than a PBR.
Let's say the show starts at 10, okay, and you're like, oh, fuck, and it's 10 after 10. You go to the website, you click the button on the thing that says start from the beginning, and it's like you're 10 minutes back and you're watching from the beginning. It's like a PBR type situation.
You can't miss that important first 10 minutes that gives you the plot.
Of Total Divas. Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's...
Yeah. Without that, it's just the bomb.
Yeah, you would never know what's going to happen.
TheBomb.com.
Yeah.
See? So, exactly. You never know what's going to happen. So, I mean, that's the...
Here in the WWF.
Yes. Oh, they did use the bullshit stat of that there are 62 million homes with one WWE fan.
Yeah, which is why they get about 3.5 million people watching a week.
Exactly. Exactly.
I say, if you get 3.5 million people watching a week for free,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to get the network to 1 to 2 million by the end of 2014. You're just not.
No, that's right.
Now, like I said, I think you'll get about 150,000 overnight when they launch quickly.
Yeah.
I think you'll get 350,000, 400,000, I figure, by WrestleMania. And by the end of the year, I figure probably about 500,000, 550,000.
Yeah. Well,
that's
again,
my prediction.
And again, my prediction?
Pain.
I do think, though, that the funny part about the, is it's going to give us times to watch,
mm-hmm.
is subscription, like, it's a little bit different, is that we're going to get pay-per-view buys, but it's different than us getting, like, we can find out through the cable companies and through the thing what the estimated pay-per-view buys are,
mm-hmm.
right? We have, it's all internal. There's no, like, WWE ain't going to leak that stuff to you or I, right? I mean, it might get out, but...
It will get out without any problem.
It's, what I'm looking at, or what I mean, it has to be publicly filed. So it will be there behind the scenes, like, you know, on a delay at the very least. But what I'm looking at now is I look to August, and I'm really interested to still wonder what the subscriptions are right away and what the subscriptions are when the first 6 months fizzles out. You know what I mean? Like, you got to lock in for 6 months. How many people re-up? Is there a reoccurring thing?
That's the thing I think that is going to be their strongest selling point is I believe that their retention rate will be very high. That's why they'll be able to grow it.
Yes.
Because they'll have that high retention rate.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah. And this, never more than ever, I think, is tied in with storylines now. Where subscription services are going to be very important. So if they do a shitty job and people don't renew, like, if let's just say the network was around and coming up this fall.
Because you'll be able to watch Raw on this network.
You know. Well, you will on a delay.
Yeah.
You will. A 90-minute Hulu-y version.
Yeah.
You know. Because
which is really, considering I don't even watch 90 minutes of it now.
I know.
DVR.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's one of the things you're going to have. I mean, Vince come out, did his whole little, did his spiel, talked about how he was a fan, and da-da-da, he's a WWE fan, we're very fan-centric. You know all that stuff.
Yeah. And then, full of shit.
Then Stefani came out.
Stefani, yeah.
And, she did some of her little things. And her job, basically, at first was to
I assume pregnant, right?
Yeah, I think so.
To
give all of the shows. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, but highlight some of the shows.
Yeah.
We got a great trailer for Legends House.
Yeah.
Holy shit, does this look like crap.
Oh, I'm sure it is. How long ago? Was it 2 years ago this was filmed?
I think so now, yeah.
And nobody's passed away? Amazing.
That is amazing, actually.
Yeah.
That is amazing. But, yeah, so that's the... And then the stars of the press conference come out.
Yeah.
In D-Generation X, Hunter and Sean. And, yeah, they were just cracking...
Didn't Stephanie McMahon have a prompter to read off of for her personal memories?
Yes, yeah. Yes. I remember... when September 11th happened, and it was just like my dad and the U.S. government.
Yeah.
But they had a show. I mean, they did the Legends House bullshit. They did say NXT was going to be on. NXT is actually going to, Hunter's announced at Full Sail University that NXT on February 27th is going to be live on the network.
Hmm.
So that's
interesting.
Good. Well, you know, it's perfect. I mean, it's your developmental guys that are learning.
Yeah.
Let's put them on live TV.
Yeah, actually, considering I'd say almost two-thirds of that roster is not ready for live TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
You know what? That'll get them to learn.
That's right. Here's...
Maybe it'll make the crowds hotter. I mean, it didn't work in TNA, but...
Jump in the deep end. Well, it's going to be at Full Sail University still. I mean,
yeah.
So... I mean, it's who knows.
And the crowds in Full Sail University, I'd say, were hotter 3 months ago than they are today.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Although the shows we just finished watching were taped a while ago.
Oh yeah, quite a while
ago.
So
that's but anyway, we've got they counted down there's a show called Mania Rewind, which kind of looks a little bit interesting to me in that like I might watching it on a Sunday afternoon if there was nothing else on. Because it doesn't sound like must-see destination programming, but it's something that looked interesting. Basically, what they're going to do is they take one match, show the match, but they're going to have superstars. Like, they showed the Hogan and Andre WrestleMania 3 clip, and then they showed Daniel Bryan going, like, when I was a kid, nothing else mattered. Nothing was bigger than Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant.
Well, so, the thing is, it's similar. They used to do that on Confidential.
Yes.
And that was one of my favorite things about Confidential. In fact, I wish they would bring back Confidential. Because the way it showed behind the scenes and showed the guys and did this, I mean, I really enjoyed that. Yeah,
that was a good,
yeah. Yeah, it was behind the scenes of the match. They talked about how the guys put together the match and
they do stuff like even like go out cherry golf tournaments and go visit Trish Stratus's house. I mean, there was a lot of different elements. It was like an Entertainment Tonight.
A murderer.
Yes.
Like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was a fact-based program, no doubt. But it was variety. Entertainment Tonight.
Showing the early career and the starting off with, you know, when he was with Ted DiBiase, RVD, and right up to his career at that point. And
yeah.
Like, a lot of cool shit was on. I loved Confidential, and it was unique. And that's a show that could return. Obviously, we're going to see a lot more. I mean, Vintage, I imagine, we already get here in Canada. Hopefully, it will be on there, and a lot of people get a chance to see it, because they do a good job on that show.
They do, yeah.
So it'll be nice for people to see it within
Although,
America, finally.
I have really been noticing with the launch of the, as the network launch gets closer, the quality of Vintage has gone down.
To some degree, but I did watch Sid and that was great.
Why do these things happen to me?
Goldberg, where's my car?
And it's that there's no delay.
No.
It's like he opens the door and is already sprinting to the car like he knows something is wrong.
Yeah, and he knows that Goldberg did it.
Yes.
It's only a roster of 100 people.
Yeah, well, yeah, that are there.
Yes, exactly.
On Nitro.
Awful. And obviously the Roundtable should be coming back.
They didn't highlight the Roundtable. They are going to do.
They're going to come back.
No,
they're
I know.
They're going to need to fill time, and I think that'll be a show that obviously return. I don't know.
Well,
you might need to find another host, Mean Gene, but I don't know if he can do it.
Joey Styles
would be a great host.
Monday Night Raw pre- and post-show, SmackDown pre- and post-shows are going to do.
A Monday Night War show?
The Monday Night War.
Ah.
War. And that was probably the highlight of the press conference, was that Stephanie goes, it was the Monday Night War. And then Hunter goes, yeah, when the Monday Night Wars were happening, geez, we stood, and Stephanie stops and goes, war, the Monday Night War, and points to the screen, and Hunter points at the prompter, and he goes, it says wars on the teleprompter. And Sean's like, yeah, actually it does. Actually it does, I can confirm, it says wars. And then the thing, he's like, and they stop, and they're like, look, and then the camera turns, and actually shows the teleprompter says wars. Oh, yeah, it was
awesome.
So funny. And then they're like, why don't we just say... And then they kept saying it, though. Because it's what it is. It was the Monday Night Wars.
It's been that forever.
And
so
they're trying to rebrand this thing. Yeah, and it's like... So
they're trying to take the F out.
Yes. And then they kept saying it. And they kept saying wars. And Stephanie kept it. And Sean's like, why don't we just use S's on everything? The Mondays. Nights. Wars. He's like, hunters?
That's awesome. If we talks wrestlings.
Mm-hmm. We's talks wrestlings. But yeah, it was tremendous.
Addies and Moe's.
And Moe's. Well, yeah, there are. It's like there's two here.
fuck yourself.
That was just tremendous. But they're going to do a countdown type thing, like a top 10 whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like they do on a little expanded version of what they do on YouTube. So,
yeah.
I mean, again, some fans, the key with the countdown show, I guess, is fans are going to get to vote on this. So they didn't really explain more than that. But
didn't they get to vote on some of the show's titles a couple years ago when they first said, coming in a month or two, the network?
Yes, yes.
Here's the show title.
They sent out email things, right? Saying,
well, no, and remember we were voting on the show titles on Raw.
Oh, right, yes, that's
and they were
right.
Like, for soon to be announced.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Ah,
but then they had Stone Cold Steve Austin come out just to be there, basically, and say this is great.
That's all he has to do.
Yeah.
Well, he found out that morning, right? Hey, you're supposed to be there. Oh, fuck. All right.
Well, it was a couple of days before, but yeah, he's been scheduled for weeks, and
they didn't tell him.
No, Vince called him a few days ago. But the best was listening to the WWE interviews afterwards, the press conference interviews that they said after there'd be interviews, and like Dave Meltzer goes to ask a question, and
everybody's like, "Hey, Dave, how are you doing, man? It's good to see you."
And Steve Austin's like, "Damn, Dave, I got to be on your show still."
Yeah, that's right.
Stop thinking that Steve Austin is asking Steve Austin questions, and Steve Austin's like, "Well, damn, what do you think, Dave?"
Do you think this will ruin pay per views? He's like, "Yeah." I don't know, Dave. What do you think? You're a numbers guy.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Oh,
the same thing when John Cena was being interviewed by him. He goes, he's like, "You really just want to ask me about the network? And we don't get to see each other much. You don't have anything else you want to ask me?"
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's too funny. Yeah. But then it was like some of the quote-unquote media.
Was drunk?
Oh, we're just idiots. Apparently a woman was a... It was, "Oh, John, I have a question for you." And Cena her cell phone and says, "It's my 5-year-old on the phone. He has a couple questions for you. Can you answer them?" And he did.
Oh, of course.
I mean, he did, but yeah. Yeah, this is media.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two people that are going to be on the network, that are going to be shown on the network are everybody's favorite Chris Benoit, as well as... The Rabid Wolverine.
No, I don't think he's ever been in the WWE.
He will be now. And they're going to apparently put on, like, a warning before, like, a, you know, advisory warning.
By the way, this is fake. He's a fictional character.
He's a fictional character.
Yeah.
Also, someone being on the network that they thought might not be on the network, but is going to be on the network, Mel Phillips also going to be on the network, which is good, as we know.
Everybody's obviously familiar with Benoit. If they're not familiar with Mel Phillips, give them a quick synopsis.
Well, what does he go by now? Mercer? May Phillips touched ring boys.
Allegedly.
Hmm? Yeah, he touched ring boys. So,
when he was working with the WWE.
When he was working at WWE, he was the black ring announcer.
Yeah.
That you see if in any of those 80s clips. I think he's most famously on air known for Terry Funk berating him and the Junkyard Dog coming out to save the day to start the Junkyard Dog Terry Funk feud in 1986.
So he did allegedly some underage boys with the WWE. There was some...
He did some underage boys for the WWE?
He did some of the same things that Jerry Sandusky was accused of. Put it that way.
Yeah. What does Pat Patterson and Jerry Sandusky have in common?
I don't know.
Oh, Mel Phillips.
Child
molester.
So
anyway, they're going to be on the network, but the network, it's way over the top.
Yeah.
That's a slick shit, though, in terms of what you can do, what you could do it on in terms of your TV,
I don't think it's going to go off and be nearly as successful as they expect. I mean, it'll grow over a period. And it will, I mean, if it's still around 10 years from now, it probably will be, it probably will have a $3 or $4 million subscription base, because that's how these things go. But, yeah. Xbox, we're going to talk about how this is on Xbox Live. Xbox Live, when they first announced it, they thought they would get 1 or 2 million subscribers, and they launched like 200,000.
Yeah.
You know, like they thought they would have it overnight. It took them years to build it up.
Yeah.
And that's how it goes. Like
Xbox sucks though, right?
Pock.
Oh.
Pock.
I was just going to say, the reason that it took them that long is because they had Xbox heat.
But anyways, what I like about this is I think it gives a certain level of energy to the product and to their presentation, like a sense of a modern, cutting-edge company.
High energy,
yeah.
Yeah,
but it does. It gives a sense that this is...
Hopefully they wear those pants.
Oh, that'd be awesome. like the announcers jackets that Cole and JBL were wearing.
Yes, JBL complete with the Vince McMahon hairstyle.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Anyway.
But yeah, you know, no, I do think that it makes the company look like it's a very modern, hip, up and coming, cutting edge company. I think it gives a certain visibility and energy to it.
I think in this degree they are. That's what I said. I really think they are. All the on demand, coupled with streaming, coupled with what you can do when you're streaming in terms of just almost like on demand to tape.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's going live, but you can get it on demand, really, because you can join in late.
And like you say, I mean, we're talking about how the pay-per-views become less important.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned, what if people are only watching this for the pay-per-views? So they're getting it cheap. What if they're watching 2 hours a month of regular of programming and then an additional 3 hours a month of pay-per-view?
Yeah.
And so those pay-per-views have to pay off for them. So that way, because, I mean, one of the worries has to be if they become just a television product, that we saw how becoming just a television product just ruined TNA. It's one of the major things. Like, I finally watched some of TNA this last week.
Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. No, it was awful. Like, I mean, really, really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, Christ. I mean, it opens up. Dixie's talking. And then they Jeff Hardy comes out, and you think there's going to be a match or something, but they announce it for later. And then James Storm comes out, and he talks to Dixie. And then, Sting came out and he talked, and Rockstar Spud talked, and then fucking Gunnar comes out and they talk. So they set up a match between, she finally has had enough, she sets up a match between them. It goes 2 minutes, and then an out of the ring, count out brawl, and then another 20 to 30 minutes of talking in the ring. Like, it was match booked. Like,
now, did they, I was gonna say, terrible. Did they, I mean, I would think that they didn't, you'd hear something about this, but when did Vince Russo come back?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, just really terrible. Really terrible. So, but that's exactly it. I mean, we've seen how bad that's been for their inability to focus the product. Even though they tried to do pay-per-views on TV, they tried to do, like, Genesis and Destination X and whatever on TV, but we've seen how bad it has been. So we'll see if WWE falls in that same, we'll see if that harms them.
Yeah, no, we will, and it's going to be. See, the benefit is that WrestleMania is.
WrestleMania.
What about the
Royal Rumble?
Streaming live? No, I mean WrestleMania is the first on the network.
Yeah.
So they won't start off with a shit.
No.
Show, but it'll be WrestleMania Hall of Fame. I presume now then
will be streaming live.
Streaming live on the network.
Uncut, the full thing, that'd be great.
Well, and the thing is that they're streaming 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
Which is perfect, because that's how long the Hall of Fame goes.
Well, 48 if Flair gives a
speech. That's true. But, Flair ain't inducting the headliner of the Hall of Fame.
No, he is not.
No, he's definitely not.
No.
But the Ultimate Warrior is going to headline the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's a strong rumor right now. We know they have a business arrangement. We don't know that it's for the Hall of Fame yet.
It's for the Hall of Fame.
It's very likely.
It's for the Hall of Fame. It's going to be for the Hall of Fame. You know who told me it was going to be for the Hall of Fame? Mike Johnson, a PW Insider.
Well, then they're never wrong.
Oh, fuck. I hate to rag on him, but he had a bad week.
Oh,
Hulk Hogan is going to be on this network launch.
Yeah, nope.
No,
he wasn't there.
No, he's not at the network. Mae Young is dead. No.
No,
she's
not.
No. No, she's not, Mike.
But we will be talking more about her.
And I can't put that on Mike, because I could put it on Mike, but I put it on Mike Mooneyham, the Charlton Post Courier. But anyway, we'll talk about Mae Young in a little more detail. But, so I think this network, good on them, going to be on to a strong start. Said the six-month thing buys them a lot of more flexibility. It was something that we never even considered, that you would only be able to buy it.
I had heard something like that, but I never thought they were going with that pattern.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's good. I mean, it'll be a lot of integration with the app. I think that's good. There's going to be a lot of, it's going to be a lot of, one of the things that, it gives them the opportunity. I mean, TNA's whole thing that's going to revolutionize the industry is their TNA 365 Live.
Right.
Well, and they're trying to do that through their website, and they're not, but this really does give the WWE the opportunity to be 365 Live.
Yeah.
You know, really, you can really do that here. And there's a lot of innovative ways that you can use this network that you haven't even, nobody's even scratched the surface of.
Well, you're going to go with, like I said, I mean, we talked about the Hall of Fame, but any other press conferences will go on there. I mean, you could do investors calls on there if you wanted
whatever.
I mean, you can fill, say, 24 hours. And the nice part is that there's
what was that show they used to do, the call-in show from the studio?
Oh, Livewire.
Yeah, I've heard there's a possibility that's going
to
return.
They are going to do a new studio show yet to be kind of developed. But, I mean, basically what it's going to be is like a sports center.
Yeah.
Essentially, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and you could do that nightly. You could do it, you know, every Wednesday. You could do whatever you want to do. You could
do it 10 a.m. every day.
10 a.m.?
Yeah.
Well, you got nothing to do at work at 10 a.m.? Oh. But I would think.
What was I do? What did I text you that I was doing?
Yeah, I know. You were watching Macho Man Randy Savage on Tuesday Night Titan.
It was fucking great. Well, that wasn't all I watched. I watched Bruiser Brody versus Nick Bockwinkel.
On Tuesday Night Titans?
No.
Oh.
I watched some Mae Young. I watched
on Tuesday Night Titans?
Yes, actually. Well, not on Tuesday Night Titans.
No, no.
But I think it was her and Moolah were on Conan O'Brien.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I do remember that.
Yeah.
And Moolah was
great.
The star back then.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess we could morph in and talk about that.
Sure. I mean, the thing is, there's more to say about the network, but the truth will be kind of dissecting it regularly as a topic over the coming weeks, so.
Yeah, until it launches, and even after it launches.
One thing
I
did want to kind of ask you, though, is let's assume we can get it.
Yeah.
Because I believe we'll be able to. How will it affect your viewing habits? I mean, if all of a sudden, will you be sitting there, and it's a chance to watch Raw, and instead say, fuck it, I feel like watching Legends House, and skip Raw because...
No, I mean... I
find other programming more entertaining if Raw continues to be as it's been.
I
think they've had a couple fairly good weeks.
The thing is, and the thing is,
How about in the month of September? Will you watch Raw at all if you can watch this other shit?
Well, you know what the thing is, I mean, that's still the current what's going on now, and the fact is that it gets watched on my PVR.
Yeah.
Right? I have it on my PVR. I mean, I still would because it still is a live program and you never know what could happen live. So if I'm watching a PVR and you go, holy shit, you gotta see this, I have the ability to click and tune it on right then. Whereas with this, something that might be interesting to you and I that's just like, oh shit, you should see this, might not make it on the 90-minute replay.
That's true.
And so I'll still have it on my PVR. I'll still watch it the same way that I have been watching it. But now it's a matter of, I'll watch other stuff, right? I mean, I'm going to be watching the network shows. Yeah, I mean, it'll basically mean I'm watching more wrestling, if that's possible.
Well, and that's another thing is, it is going to be interesting to see how much they pull. Like, you want to go and watch 90 minutes worth of Tuesday Night Titans right now? It's on YouTube. Go ahead. How will they control that? How will they pull that? How expensive is that going to be?
Yeah.
How much of a negative or positive would it be anyways?
Well, they are going to want to control content more stringently online.
How will it affect the streaming of pay-per-views and torrenting of pay-per-views and these types of things? All this stuff is factors that we still have to see how it happens.
Well, the factors...
How will it affect if they want to put Raw and SmackDown on their network? How will it affect their upcoming contracts that have to be renewed with the new licensees who are in the networks? How will they react to that possibility? How will they want to pay for that? How will it affect their Hulu deal? How will it affect the content they put on Netflix right now? All of it, there's a lot of moving parts.
Oh, it's, again, when they called it the groundbreaking announcement, and it really is, because it's changed the landscape.
How will it affect the payouts?
Yeah. Yeah, how would it affect royalties? How would it affect payouts? Like, they have changed. This move kind of single-handedly changes the industry.
Well, I mean, we talk about payouts. Okay. Let's say that right now, Lance Storm talks about how he, gets a check. Maybe it'll be a few hundred dollars, or, whatever. He'll get most of it will be from this Divas TV.
That he's on.
What was it that Nash in one of these shoot interviews talked about how we just got a $50,000 check?
Yeah.
And that would have been royalties from WWE. How will it affect guys like who are rarely on those DVDs, but now will be? If they're showing a television show in it, or these things, and you know, will they have to pay out if the goon, if he's on, you know, if he's on the TV? You know, how does it affect it? How does it affect Jesse Ventura and his voiceover?
And Gary Michaels,
you know, I mean, guys like, you know, those random, random low-level WCW guys that were on, though, if they're showing them to fill up their three-hour Raw, and they're showing all of a Nitro or whatever, and they're showing all of a Nitro, and you have guys like, I don't know, Alex Wright and these guys, how much will they get paid, or will they get paid?
Well,
and
that's...
And if they're not getting paid, will they sue?
And will they win? It's not a matter of will they sue. It's a matter of
will they win.
Do they have a case?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
And does the DVD royalties give them that case? Like, is that what opens the door? And will that affect the profitability?
And part of the contract.
There's so many moving parts to this.
The thing is, it's laced in the contracts, right?
Yeah.
Because how much do you pay Mike Enos?
For that dog in the window? Oh, yeah. Mike Enos, yeah.
How much do you pay Alex Riley? Or Alex Wright, rather.
Yeah.
How much do you pay Alex Riley, for that matter? But,
yeah.
I mean, how much... So for every show that you're on the network, here's a penny.
Yeah, who knows how it is.
Here's three pennies, right? I mean, so, A, is it worth people suing?
I don't know.
You know?
How much... I mean, to hear Nash pay or sound makes it sound like he's getting really nice royalties.
Yes, because Kevin Nash had... The Time Warner, you know, and he's also always been very smart about...
And he's also full of shit.
Well, he is, but he's also very smart about cutting deals.
Yeah.
And again,
How much has Conan received in royalties? How many matches and DVDs has he been in? Probably not that many, right? Like, he might have been on the Nitro DVDs,
but
on maybe a War Games DVD.
Does he get it?
I'm sure he does. Because if Lance Storm does, I'm sure he does. But the point
Conan
is...
Has Conan... I guess other than...
He would. He'd be getting something.
But has he ever been under contract with WWE?
The point is, though,
he has his Max Moon, but you know what I mean? In that era, like, that's what I wonder. Like, Lance Storm...
Was under actual WWE contract.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I'm pretty sure I've heard about some people getting paid who worked, but who knows?
Pretty much everybody has, right? You know what I mean? Like, does Sting get WWE royalty checks for the Nitro?
I would imagine he would.
I don't know that he would. Why? Like, royalty
I think
mirror.
It probably have to... I think it probably... If Ventura can win that lawsuit that he won, I think they're paying... Like, I don't know for sure, though. I mean, you're right. It's worth finding out.
It's worth finding out. It's also worth... I mean, if you've got $10 and you've got... $10 a head, right? $9.99, $10 a head.
Yeah.
And you have, let's just say you have 300,000 subscribers. So you've got $3 million there.
Yeah.
Every 6 months.
Yeah.
Or, sorry, every month.
Yeah.
$3 million a month. So, $36 million, let's just say.
Yeah.
How do you divvy that up? Like you said.
Why do you take away the costs? How do you divvy up to your current roster, and how do you divvy up to the people that you have to divvy it up, to the Lance Storm.
To the tens of thousands.
Yes.
If you're doing 24 hours, tens of thousands, literally. Like, we joked about how there were 100 people on Nitro.
Does Rick Bogner have to get a check?
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure he's ever been on a DVD. He would have been. He would have been on, like, a WrestleMania DVD.
Even sure Rick Bogner's ever been paid a check. In anything.
I'm not sure he would know how to cash it if he did. But, you know...
I guarantee you he wouldn't know.
The big Razor Ramon, did you come into... you work in finance, and you want financial help? He helped him spell his own name or something?
Mm-hmm. How many U's in duh, I think, is what he asked me. But it was... Yeah, it was interesting. But yeah, that's going to be the very... Good point. I don't know how we got on this royalties tangent.
Well, no, but it just because it came up to me, it literally popped in my head, and I just had to, it's interesting. It's one of the things that I haven't heard anybody talking about it yet. And I mean, it's one of the things that's going to make it, you know. I mean, I don't know how Netflix determines who to, like, you have small movies and big movies.
Right.
How much does Netflix, I think, has like 15 million subscribers or something like that now, like something crazy like that. You know, 12 million, something like that, right?
Yeah, but every time a movie is watched on Netflix, does, you know, like every time Fast and the Furious is on Netflix, somebody watches it, does Rock get a cut?
Yeah, seriously.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, I don't know.
I don't know if Rock does or the studios does, or probably the studio does, and then they determine it to their... But, yeah, I mean, how about these smaller movies? How much are they making? And, you know, because you have a lot of independent or smaller movies on there, the B-movies, as well as the main...
Wasn't there a big thing? Isn't that why the... Remember when the Hollywood writers went on strike, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago now?
Yeah, with that, yeah.
And part of it would... The big thing was that they're...
They weren't getting royalties for DVD sales.
No, it was online.
Oh,
it was
okay.
That these things, that some of these things are going on.
Also DVDs,
on,
it was.
Yeah, but yes. Some of this stuff is going online. Some of the shows have, like, online, like, Heroes had the go online thing. I think
yes,
Scrubs
right.
had the go online thing.
That's right.
It was like they're doing extra work
yep.
online, and that they're not, no
they're
one's
not getting
yet
paid.
Getting paid. So, so what's the deal with that? So, I mean, it's going to be interesting, and I don't know how that ended up.
Again, I mean, will they probably will be blurring out the Scratch logo?
No, they're only going to blur out the Scratch logo if the footage that they're using is from, like, the already blurred out
okay.
stuff.
And
they're not going to go, because they've reached that agreement.
They're not going to use the music, though.
Well, they're going to try, as royalties will, again, as licensing will allow, they're going to use as much of the music as possible.
So, all of a sudden, say you are using some of the music, I mean, some of that music... How much would a CM Punk's, will his music, which has already cost X amount a year for them, will it go up because of this? Will it cost that much more?
I don't think, I mean, again, I think every deal is different, and I think it just depends on the complexity of the deal and how it is if, like, you can use CM Punk for all your music, for all the shows you air, you know, you can have it for $10 million a year, you can use this thing, or whatever the number is, right? But for X amount of money, you use it for a year. They have to be doing it that way, because he goes to house shows. I mean, he can't, there's no way they can be doing it on a pay-per-use basis. I think actually Hogan and Voodoo Child was the same thing, is that it was just done annually.
I thought one of the issues actually with Metallica was the idea of a pay-per-view basis. So the reason why they Sandman.
Well, some people do, yes.
Yeah.
Some people
yeah.
sell it, but Metallica is notoriously fucked up for that shit.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, they were on a per-use basis.
I believe so, yeah.
But, I mean, the deals that are cut with reasonable people are done on an annual basis.
Yeah.
So.
All right, let's, I think that is it, but... almost what we need to do is we're going to have to listen back to the podcast, make notes of all our questions, and do a little research. I think we're going to have to.
Well,
start asking around some of our
yeah.
inside sources and
some people we know,
people.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and see what, yeah.
And a lot of this, like I said, they call it a groundbreaking announcement, and it really is because a lot, this is all, the landscape is forever changed, at least for now. And, I mean, well, it is forever changed.
I think we brought
but,
up some questions nobody else has asked yet. At least
I haven't heard any answers to those, no. So,
yeah, so, yeah. All right.
So we'll ask around. Anyway,
Anyway, I might not tell you guys, but at least we'll know.
Yeah, we'll know, exactly.
all right, now let's move on to, not to May.
I don't want
to
end on a bad note, though.
Well, I don't know that it necessarily will be because I have good memories.
I know, but it's still sad.
Okay, let's talk Mae Young then.
The great Johnny Mae Young. That's her name.
Yeah, Johnny Mae Young. Of course, the situation is this, that her kidneys are breaking down. She's 90 years old. Mm-hmm. Some people say 94, but apparently looking like 90 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted to have a match with her 100th birthday against Stephanie was her dream.
Yeah.
You know, she's she said how many decades? She's since the 30s. So we're not sure if she actually had a match in the 30s, but she's saying since the 30s she had her first match. That would have made her 16, 15. A very tough woman back in her day who, of course, probably became far more famous during the Attitude Era. I find myself, she's in really rough shape, even though it was announced earlier today, as you say, that she passed away. I sent you that text.
Yeah.
And I was saddened by it. I was very saddened by it.
Yeah.
Much more so than I expected to be. I didn't realize that because she's lived a full life, and I wasn't really hit that much when
she's lived two full lives.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. So you almost shouldn't feel sad, like, from that perspective. She's had so much life that, you know, I mean, she's lived her dream. But
Mae Young, though, I texted you back. I said you were sad about it. I said that Mae Young is wrestling's grandmother.
Well, that's it. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't really sad when Fabulous Moolah died.
I know, right?
You know, like, honestly, didn't hit me nearly the same way. And I'd seen Moolah longer, and I'd actually seen her wrestling.
You were a big Wendy Richter fan, though, so.
But it's true that, you know, I mean, you see it with some of these older guys pass away, guys even you're familiar with. I mean, I was saddened when Freddie Blassie passed, for instance.
Right.
But, you know, some of them, it's just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, older guys, too bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Mae really kind of gets to me, and while she hasn't passed at this recording,
she's been taken off life support.
She's been taken off life support, and probably by the time that this is downloaded by most people, or certainly, I mean, we hope not, but very likely, certainly by our next recording, she will have passed away. And, she has been, like you say, she is wrestling's grandmother, and there is just, I think what it is, the difference with her, she just seems very genuine, and she loves wrestling, and her love,
mm-hmm.
and her passion, and her purity, and her joy, and what she received out of it, represents the good things about the business,
mm-hmm.
and represents what I love, and what they sometimes drum out of me, but that just genuine love for this business, she connects at the core to you, because she just...
Yeah.
Yeah, her...
Those great ones have it. I go to again, back to those interviews. And Shawn Michaels, and they asked, like, what was his favorite WrestleMania match or whatever, and he just, you know, said, I got to go with those two with Taker.
Yeah.
And you could hear it on the audio. He's just beaming.
Yeah.
With pride and with what it was and him as a fan and just... loving it. And as a Mae Young, every time, you know, he said she wanted to have a match when she was 90. She had that match where she had that spill.
Yeah.
And they took her out, and she was like, fuck. And she was doing everything in her power to get back and have another match, right? I mean, you go back to the first old school Raw when it was Lay Cool. And it was, which are you two sluts? She's like, I don't know those sluts.
She's just such a very real person, and a person who's what wrestling gave to her is much more than what it took away, and that's not the case with a lot of people.
No, most people, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things about her that I really appreciate. Like I said, I know her love for wrestling is greater than my own, and I love it.
Yeah.
And the fact that I can look at somebody like that who's been in the business that long, you know, that's what she means to me. That, and then there just was some great moments in some of those vignettes. That I mentioned my all-time favorite is, you know, WrestleMania 20 with her and Bobby Green and Gene Okerlund and Fabulous Moolah.
Yeah.
You know, and but there's been a lot of those things that what
I've been
your
sick.
Memory?
I've been sick. Well, I mean,
that was so great.
Yeah, I'm not well.
My doctor would tell me to go in there.
I'm not well. But. Oh, God, I mean, you just, well, anytime she said puppies, which is funny, so my puppies, and, you know, I've told that story about it being Kids Day at Boston Pizza when I was a cook.
Tell it again. And
it was Kids Saturday, and the Royal Rumble, whatever Royal Rumble that was, 99, 2000, Royal Rumble, was on, and one of the waiters put it on, because it was on in the bar, and it was a restaurant section, and one of the waiters put it on, and it's family Sunday dinner time, and Mae Young with those Something About Mary prosthetic boobies flashes everybody on TV, and there's all these complaints from parents because their kids are like, what the hell?
But that a woman her age was willing to do that?
Yes.
And got it and was willing for the jokes? Like, she was fearless.
The powerbomb.
The powerbomb
off
through
the stage, you know?
Yeah, and, I mean, with the, you know, the Dudley boys, and,
And she giving Bubba Ray shit.
Yeah.
Saying, you better not Like, I
don't take it easy on
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you better not take it easy on me, motherfucker.
Yeah. You know?
And it was just, yeah, like, all of those things. Whatever, on the Attitude Era, when they'd have to do these segments and stuff, she would give the guys shit and curse and swear at them. Like, you fucker, you better motherfucking lay it in.
Yeah.
Or I will kick your ass. I mean, you think of the
awesome.
You think of the rib that she pulled at the No Way Out pay-per-view in 2002 when it was the Redneck Games with Steve Austin and Eric Bischoff. And Eric Bischoff had to take the Bronco Buster from Mae Young.
That's right.
And Mae Young put the sardines
in her
crotch and gave Eric Bischoff the Bronco Buster. Sure. I mean, it was it. I mean, her
smile when she came out was real.
Yeah.
You know, every time. She loved being in front of that audience and, she's just...
And really, like I said, a full life. I mean...
Absolutely.
I don't think it's any secret around wrestling. Like, her and Moolah were partners.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
And so, like, when you're that old and one partner passes, you know, sometimes the other one doesn't last much longer.
Yeah.
But Moolah's been gone for quite some time now. And Mae Young. I mean, I'm glad she got to go into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Don't forget
her hand, the hand.
Yes.
Versus the hand.
Give her a hand.
He's all grown up now.
That's right. That's right. Well, yeah, he's probably at her bedside right now.
The thing is, you can make that joke, and you know she'd appreciate it.
Yes, exactly.
That's the thing about it, right?
You had, of course, the famous pregnant hand, sexual chocolate Mark Henry. Mark Henry and Mae Young, and that was with GTV segment.
Yeah, that's right.
When they revealed that they were sleeping together or whatever, but... those are all the Attitude Era moments. Obviously, before that, I mean, she wrestled, like you said, in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. I mean, it's just...
Good hand, Yeah.
Well, he's all grown up.
Good hand in the ring.
Oh,
she was a solid worker, and women's wrestling is within that circle. She was well respected and a fairly strong draw within that kind of a lesser thing. But she's not in the ring and as far as being a draw, she's not Mildred Burke or something like that.
No,
but
I fully expect. When the time comes, unfortunately, there will be a very nice Raw video package
absolutely.
For Mae Young as well, which, again, will probably highlight even more than what we've said.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because there's all those little moments, you know, that she had. And, she's definitely, I mean, again, she's still alive at this point, as I said, but definitely... as I said, wrestling's grandmother. I can't put it any other way than that.
No,
wrestling's
that's a good
grandmother.
Way to put it. That's a good way to put it. So, fond memories of Mae Young, for sure.
Well,
there's no negative memories from Mae Young at all.
No, exactly. Not exactly.
And that's very rare.
Exactly. No, that is very rare. Well, let's move on a little bit to some quick hit items, I guess.
Okay.
We can hit, and then we can go with Raw as well. But speaking of women, Caitlin has given her notice.
27 years old.
Yeah. Well, Caitlin, there's two things. Caitlin has given her notice, and will anyone notice?
No.
No.
I say 27 years old, about to get married, and a lot of this stems from the fact that there was a lot of storylines she was in the running for, or she thought she was going to get in, or she was waiting for, and they never occurred, and so she just decided to move on.
Yeah.
Understandable.
I guess.
Yeah.
Again, you talk about it, though. I mean, Caitlin... not Mae Young, you know what I mean? Just was a female bodybuilder that thought, hey, you know, why don't I try to get in on this? And they signed her, and she was on NXT, the women's version, and it was just like, but no real.
But she had her moment. She had a moment where she was spotlighted for a longer period of time than many of the women are. She had a moment. She had more of a moment than a lot of the people that Oksana will ever have.
By
you know what I mean?
Accident.
Yeah, by accident, actually.
Yeah.
But you know what? She did. So, you know, I mean, she's probably accomplished everything she's going to accomplish. And
well, that's the whole thing. I mean, yeah, she's been the women's champion. She, like you said, she's been spotlighted for, you know, what, a 5 months maybe on TV there?
Yeah, there was a period there with her and AJ and
yeah,
all that stuff was, you know.
And, yeah, so there, you know, it's she had her run.
She had her run.
It's time to go,
it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and will anybody miss her? Probably not.
Hey, Oksana's won 2 in a row.
Well, she actually lost
one on SmackDown, but she lost 2 Raw matches in a row.
2 Raw matches in a row, which is one more than she won the previous 4 years or 3 years or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now twice as many people will come and get her autograph at the Royal Rumble this year.
Man, it was really strange. She looks good on camera, but really in person, of all, like, Caitlyn in person was much more attractive than she was on TV. Like, she really was very, very pretty person when we met her last year at the Royal Rumble. Alicia Fox looks amazing either way.
Mostly loose, though.
That's a whole other thing. But, yeah, she looked great. What's her name? The dancers, the...
the Funkadactyls. Yeah.
I mean, Rosa Mendez in person was... amazing.
Yeah.
And then Oksana just looked like a pretty girl that you could see working at a mall.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't stand out. On TV, she actually comes across more glamorous. And
she actually, when I went up to get my picture with her, she actually handed me a cologne sample.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
It was Carlos, so I didn't keep it.
Who was it that was sitting right in front of us for like 15 minutes before we realized who it was?
That was David Otunga.
That's right.
David Otunga, who I did spot on the People's Choice Awards on Monday or whatever, yesterday, whenever I watched People's Choice Awards, whenever they were on, I could see him. He was actually sitting front row on the end.
Yeah.
There, and I was like, they didn't really go to him or anything that I saw. It was just like, hey, that's David Otunga. As people would, like, walk by to accept their awards that weren't David Otunga.
yeah. Oh, well. That's why they keep him employed.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. But anyway, he hadn't been on in ages.
Well, no, he was on for a moment for...
The Big Show.
The Big Show, yeah.
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 But,
his lawyer.
That's right.
Yeah, your dog's not very bright.
No, he's not. But
my dog.
No, that's
freaking
right.
Genius that she is.
Yeah, genius in a bottle. But what are we doing real quick? Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Ryback, acne. Another, you know, getting flack for being stiff, and.
I think I said this to you, like, remember when he debuted and we were watching him do these clotheslines? I'd be like, I wouldn't want to take one of those. He doesn't look like he knows how to give a clothesline.
No.
He's trying to get himself over at the expense of the other guy.
Yes.
And hitting them too hard and not hitting them right.
I thought that's why the Goldberg chant started.
Yeah, no shit. And this is, I mean, that's it. He's still doing it. I mean, the setting up, it appears, him and Big E.
Langston.
But,
Langston.
But sorry, I lost the train of thought. But anyways, yeah, he's the issue to me is, I mean, now another concussion fairly shortly after for Dolph Ziggler. When you get a concussion, the likelihood of getting a concussion goes up every time.
Yeah.
So how likely is he becoming? Is he going to become concussion? You know,
prone.
Prone,
yeah.
And is he already?
Well, that's
how will that affect his career?
He's going to Pittsburgh to eat some cookies, right? Some maroons.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to see Dr. Maroon in Pittsburgh. He's going to look him over because they are really worried about him. I mean, that's really what
you've seen athletes. I mean, Sidney Crosby's the best hockey player in the world. How long was he out with a concussion? Like 15 months or something?
Oh, God, yeah, like a year and a half, yeah.
It's possible, and he's come back.
A guy that was supposed to be the greatest hockey player in the world, Eric Lindros.
No,
Brett. No, Eric, concussions, didn't knock him out forever, but they eventually did, and he was never the same.
His younger brother, Brett Lindroth, his career, a year and a half in, was over.
Well, yeah, and I mean, then he went to wrestling and wrestled as Mike Awesome. But, because
remember when they drafted him in the Islanders, and they go, we got the better Lindroth. A year and a half later, like, he's gone.
Yeah.
The concussion.
And they, but they were right. the thing is, yeah, it looks like they're going to do Langston and Ryback. Who knows? Maybe that's just going to be a Raw now after this, a Raw kickoff.
It's just to set up a Rumble spot.
Again, yeah, it looks, Rumble spot, because the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view has at least two matches, I guess.
Yeah, one of them, obviously, they're setting up, obviously a Rumble spot will occur to push this a little bit too, but Batista, who has, it appears, a 2-year contract, we don't know.
Yeah, how, what the dates or whatever, but.
How many dates he has, but a 2-year contract, so that's longer than I'm. Would have actually expected, and we're going to see him versus Del Rio at the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, at the Elimination Chamber. I mean, it's kind of easy.
Because Del Rio's been on a complete streak.
If you just go, but
like,
if you...
if there's somebody who can beat him, it's that guy. With the way he's been winning lately.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, this week.
Yeah. Well, the thing is what, they like Del Rio's cardio, right?
Mm.
And his finisher. So you figure it's the perfect strategy, is that if you just run Batista around, so he has to jog around the ring. He's probably going to tear his tricep,
mm-hmm.
and then you can use the arm breaker finish.
Oh, so logical.
So I think it works, really.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
The funny thing is they've both done MMA fights, and an MMA fight, a real fight, mm-hmm. Del Rio would kick his ass.
I know, but
like,
you know.
Not even be competitive.
The thing is of the two of them,
Del Rio was a way better MMA fighter.
Yeah, but Batista is the one
way
that,
better athlete.
Batista is the one that should have been wearing the mask.
Yeah, no kidding, eh?
So. But
yeah, he actually fought, in case you're wondering, Del Rio fought in MMA, and he had like 5 or 6
against
fights.
Against Krokop.
Like, he had like, yeah, he was like 5-2 or something like that was his record or something like that it ended up with. He did pretty good, but he did lose to Krokop. But yeah, he actually fought in MMA in Japan wearing his lucha mask.
Yeah.
So it's very strange, but yeah.
But I think...
but a legit national champion, Greco-Roman wrestler.
I just love the WWE's views on some of these mid-card guys. It's like, Christmas is coming, so Sin Cara, the guy with the mask, has to win.
Well, not only that, it makes you wonder if he's actually going to be around, and they are actually going to go with Hunico, or it was just like, huh, he sold a bunch in Europe, and Christmas is coming. Get him on TV, get him some wins, sell that mask, and when Christmas is over, fuck him.
Yeah, now it's like Christmas is over, now what's his name can, now Del Rio can win, so then he can go in the Rumble, and it's a little bit more serious for, but I mean, they used to do that all the time around Christmas, is like, that's when you'd see the Bushwhackers.
Yeah.
With the little brawling buddies.
Yeah,
right? Coming out, and it's like, now then Christmas is over, it's like, you don't see the Bushwhackers anymore.
Yeah.
So it's, could be, you can't completely eliminate them to sell the masks, but, it's there.
We can hope.
Well, you could hope.
What else we got here? Quick hits wise.
Let's talk a little about the Hulkster. It's a pretty much a done deal that he's going to Mania now.
Yeah.
Again, probably, like you said, the guy to induct the Warrior.
Most likely.
I would think. If Jim Powers is not
available.
Because
they've always gotten along so well.
That's right. If Jim Powers isn't available.
Or Hunter could induct the Warrior,
Mm-hmm.
Some of those people he's been pals with, worked with at WrestleMania.
Yeah, what's your finish? Kick out?
Maybe Orlando Jordan can induct him.
Maybe. That would be great, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And, maybe Darren Young could induct him.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Darren Young and Orlando Jordan should meet.
Mate? I'll move. let's talk a little bit about Toby Keith.
Yeah.
Never trust the guy with two first names.
No. Toby Keith, of course, country music superstar.
He is.
Very loaded, very rich, very popular. Yeah. Jeff Jarrett's his buddy.
Yeah. Well, he's a big wrestling fan.
Yeah.
He came and remember when TNA was early days and he did the weekly pay-per-views, and I think he gave Scott Hall a suplex or something.
Something like that, yeah.
The Toby Key. I think maybe him and Jarrett, or no, maybe him and Scott Hall did a double suplex on Jeff Jarrett.
Could be, yeah.
You
so
know,
I can't
something
remember
that way, but
yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, so he's looking like, I mean, we'll see how quickly, I mean, it looks like they want to get it going really fast. Him and Jeff Jarrett want to start a company. Could very, I mean, they could buy TNA, but looks like they don't want to do that. And I don't blame them. I mean, if I'm them, I would rather start from scratch, and I think you could become number two pretty quickly, and you don't have the tinge of that horrible TNA name, even though Jarrett's partly responsible for it, but you don't have the tinge of that, and hopefully he's a little more mature. So here's a couple other points. Number one, I would expect that there'd be a chance that Hermie Sadler could come into this, and that's Star Racer as well, another person. There's Toby Keith and JR, very good friends, so there is some talk that they're in negotiations with him.
I guess you have your double announcer booth. Like, if they already have their announcer, then why would they need? I mean, JR is better, but the first step you just said was to get an announcer.
What?
You said they were going to get Hermie.
Oh.
He's in ROH right now, but he could move on to this new promotion.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever you're saying, I don't know what you're talking about.
Stick it in, Hermie. Remember when Rock used to call Kevin Kelly a hermaphrodite?
Yes.
Named him Hermie?
Yes, yes. All right. Anyways, Hermie Sadler, NASCAR racer. So anyways, yeah, I could see...
Loved him in Happy Gilmore.
We could see... I mean, it's unlikely. It's a long shot, but there's some possibility. I would love to see JR there as an announcer and also working, booking with Jeff Jarrett. The fear for me is, of course, if Jeff Jarrett's opening a company, that the first guy he calls
yes.
to book it... Because he hasn't learned a fucking thing.
Yeah.
Is Vince Russo.
Exactly.
That's the scariest thought about all this.
It is.
So hopefully, but yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if it happens. Seems very strong. I mean, I think it's a matter, again, of when, not if, and how quickly then.
Well, and I guess to tie it all together and how quickly to go, I mean, TNA's television deal is up in September.
Yeah.
So...
speaking of which, Kurt Angle, the highest paid wrestler, his contract is up
in August. Yeah.
Now,
I think you talked about...
Are they looking at September as a cheaper alternative with a better, fresher brand name with Jeff Jarrett to replace? Because Jeff Jarrett was... Actually, it was Eric Bischoff who was good in with the network.
That's where I was getting at. That's the... Don't forget about Jim Ross. I mean, I think a key... is to try to get Eric Bischoff involved in some capacity.
They could literally steal the Spike TV deal right from underneath TNA, and then TNA probably's done.
Oh, not even probably.
Yeah.
The Panda Energy would pull the plug then.
Well,
yeah,
unless they
sure.
had another television deal they could work out. But
yeah, but that would be, that to me is a lot like ECW.
Yeah.
You know, the landscape has changed a little bit, right? So, I mean, you talk about sports television rights fees, but nobody wants number two.
No.
So... yeah, I mean, I could see it.
Yeah,
I could see it. You
I
know.
Could see it happening too. Yeah,
but that's going to be very interesting. Like you said, sooner rather than later is what they're hoping. At the same time,
that's why Jeff Jarrett left.
Yeah. But who knows? I mean, country music.
I think your dog wants out. I mean, he's already been out like three times in the last 2 hours.
Yeah, I know. So it's time for his eighth time. But what about country music television? Even right? Would they have? Would they have the affinity to put an hour program on? Right? Even
sure.
You know what I mean? That'd be a 2 hour. But could they put an hour program?
Hour
on, right?
Or 90 minutes or whatever. I mean, that would be. I think that's actually a fairly nice fit. I mean, we saw when ECW was on TNN. Well, I mean, we did. But, I mean, and that wasn't a type of wrestling, obviously, that you would associate with TNN at the time, the national network. But I think CMT, let's face it, wrestling has... There's something about Southern pro wrestling, and while Vince McMahon may hate it, I don't think that tinge is out there for 99% of the normal world, and it certainly doesn't exist for me. I mean, you know, yeah, I think that could actually be a pretty nice little fit.
And you got Toby Keith there. I mean, that's the driver, right? So, I mean, country music, Toby Keith. Yeah.
Yeah, I could definitely see this, yeah. We're talking about, I mean, if we're talking about JR, Toby Keith, Hermie Sadler, we're talking about, you know, and JJ, I mean, we're talking about, yes, a Southern wrestling style product.
Yeah.
And who knows? I mean, maybe Jerry Jarrett can, you know, kind of mend fences and come in and you can keep that Brooklyn, New York fuckface out.
I don't think, yeah, that would ever happen. No, I don't, no, I don't Jerry think so, Jarrett is too smart to do that again. He really is. He's like, no, I'm not.
Yes and no. I say he's too smart to do that unless JR's in there. That's a caveat.
I don't know if it is. I think it's still a matter of, no, you're going to get fucked over by my son again, and I'm not going to let that happen. You know what I mean? I could see that. But I forget where I was going with it. Oh, you could have Jim Ross, your commentators. I keep going back to commentators for some reason, but Jim Ross and Grandmaster Sexay could be your commentating duo, because good God, did he look like his dad on Monday?
He really did, yeah.
Like, I'm like, I thought you said he went to the hospital. But,
yeah. Do we have anything else to say about this or any other?
No, let's talk about Raw.
Let's talk about Raw.
I mean, it's
like,
more.
Do you need
of,
to let your dog back in or
eventually.
He's never liked to be out there long. I know.
I know he's an idiot, but
yeah. Well, yeah, he's a dog.
Yeah. Yeah. Monday Night Raw. Old
did you
school.
See, first off, did you see the video of Daniel Bryan on whatever WWF Superstars or whatever back in the day behind Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard? Did you see this video?
No.
It's the greatest thing. Going to the pro WWF. Or not WWF, sorry, into the Observer and going to the Daily Updates, I think it's yesterday, because you need to see this. And if this isn't him, not the Brian and Vinny show, the Daily Update.
Oh.
That's okay. No, I mean, you did well, considering how literate you are. Yeah, go in there. And
oh, like, Daniel Bryan, Time Traveler?
Time Traveler. You need to see this. Time Traveler. There it is. Click on this and make it full screen. Well, actually, it doesn't matter, but make it full screen. And just watch this for a second, because just in a second, watch behind Tully, and there's a guy doing the cables there.
Holy!
And if that's not Daniel Bryan, now keep watching it for a second. Press play. So this guy is pulling the cables for the television, and dressed in the blue suit, and he's got the long hair and the beard.
Yeah.
Which is there, and now you'll notice he kind of is, as they go around the corner, you'll see right from the corner that he's like walking away back to the back.
Yeah.
And he's gone. And but that's creepy.
It is creepy because he's wearing
the exact outfit.
Yeah, he's wearing
the
Duke the
Dumpster
Drossy outfit.
And this is like 1989, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Wow.
That was weird, isn't it?
That is weird.
Really weird. Like this, the resemblance is uncanny.
Oh yeah,
and enough to make you think that it really is that they photoshopped him in or something.
Yeah,
you know, but that doesn't make any sense, and especially not on YouTube on that video. It's really
that's weird.
So, anyways, all right, back
well, that's
to
old school.
That was old school.
That's old school.
Back to speaking of old school, what do you think?
Hits and misses.
As an old school Raw, probably not the best one. As a Raw, better than
most.
Oh,
it's not the best one. The first one was the best one. That'll never
but
be
But as a
top.
Raw, better than most.
Yes, that'll never be topped. The first old school Raw, I guarantee, will never be topped.
Probably not, no.
No, because it's just some of the surprises and the guys and the things that happened. But, I mean, when you... when I look at the positives, our good friend DDP... are you doing yoga? Yeah, DDP yoga. Not your mama's yoga.
That's right.
He did everything but mention Arthur Gorman.
He
on
did.
That thing. It was great.
I bet you he had that in there for the script. And they're like, no.
No, you can't talk about Arthur Gorman.
Oh, wait for Royal Rumble.
And if,
give him another shot at the Royal Rumble. It may happen.
And if, yeah, and if anybody should have done damn or been damned, it was DDP.
It's
DDP. Great. Yeah, so that was a great segment. You know, then you go, I mean, Flair opened...
He practically did the exact same thing he did in the YouTube video we have on the interview we did with him.
Flair, Flair came out in probably the most useless thing Ric Flair may have ever done.
I didn't really see the point of that, other than that it was Ric Flair.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
Wow. And you know what's funny to me is that, and I haven't really heard anybody say this, although I hear Steve Smith is a little bit hot, but is, like, they kept talking about Flair and the San Francisco 49ers, because they asked Flair to come in to hype the team up before the game. And so they showed a still photo of it or whatever, and then...
Oh, you can see the video.
Yeah, it was video or whatever.
Yeah,
but
they showed on the WWE, a still photo or whatever.
Yeah, they showed on Raw a still photo. Flair wanted to come out to all 49ers stuff, but they said in Baltimore, no.
Dummy.
Yeah.
They lost to them, or they... Yeah. Well, they beat them. But, they played the Super Bowl against each other. Don't
Yeah, exactly. And,
If you wanted to wear a small, little wristband that's visible,
still...
but not...
Nah, I don't
out
think
there,
so.
I could understand.
No, because you're going to get booed. But, I mean, the thing
not
is,
if,
and then
not
Michael...
If not if it's not in your face.
And then Michael Cole goes, and it worked. They advanced to go to Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
To play Carolina, I think he said. To play Carolina, and I'm like, Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Ric Flair just has been hyping the team that's going against Carolina.
His hometown.
Yeah, I'm like, that's smart.
But he doesn't, I don't know if he's ever had anything to do with the Carolina Panthers. He's too busy endorsing the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yes. Well, and what's his name? Colin Kaepernick?
Kaepernick.
Colin Kaepernick is Flair's favorite player because he paid his bar tab.
Yeah, I could see that.
So
I could see that.
That's a good thing here. I'm going to go my dog in. So keep talking about
Raul. Give me your dog in while you're at it, because it's really, really hot in this place. I mean, not as hot as your old place, but still Ooh. Hot. Beverage, please. Beverage me. All right, so we're going to talk about old school Raw. I don't understand. They are trying, obviously, I guess the point of the segment with Flair was to try and give a rub to John Cena, of course, rub. But John Cena, of course, got booed regardless when his music hit. It is just impossible to get excited about that match, even with the television promos telling us possibly the most important rematch in WWE history. And you know what? Since if you consider WWE and WWF separate, possibly it is the most important world title, WWE title rematch. Because, you know, but I mean, obviously if you consider the WWF canon, I don't think you could possibly compare this to being in the top, I don't know, 1 billion most important rematches. So, it's just absolutely impossible to get interested in it. And Ric Flair he was there, and he's great because he's Ric Flair. He's better than everybody else, but not the moment you needed it to be really excite you for the pay-per-view in any way. And certainly I think there's better uses of him, but they didn't really... I guess the point is with Ric Flair, you don't need a better use. You just put out Ric Flair because he's Ric Flair, and he'll get over and be over and everything. So, I put it that way. Thank you very much for the beverage. I'm guessing that's a diet.
Of course.
Anyways, moving on. What else was good about the show or bad about the show? The Daniel Bryan thing I had mentioned last week. People were saying, oh, he turned heel. And then I said, no, he didn't turn heel. This whole thing is designed to make him feel even more sympathetic. And that was the way they were pushing the storyline within the commentary. They were not treating him like he had turned heel. They were treating him like a sympathetic character who's backed into a corner and doing what he has to do. And they were doing the same thing with promos on the website and such by guys like CM Punk saying that you don't understand it. You have to understand it from Daniel's point of view and everything. So they're not turning him. The fact is that at the end of the day, his actions in the ring were very heelish. The way he was aggressive in the match, the way he tried to take part in the beatdown, the 4-on-2 beatdown afterwards, all of this is building to a storyline of will he fit in with the Wyatts, which I totally get, I totally understand. Will he fit in with the Wyatts? I actually didn't think it was a bad thing. I mean, logically, you'd go, what, they're losing? But I actually thought it was okay that they lost because, again, that can just be part of a larger storyline, though generally the Wyatts should be kept strong. But, I think as a storyline, personally, I'm interested where you're going with Daniel, I almost said Daniel Wyatt, which they were calling him the house shows, Daniel Bryan, that they're keeping calling him. I'm personally interested.
Yeah.
But certainly the crowd is reacting, confused and quiet. They were behind him to some degree, but
mm-hmm.
The confusion is worrsome, and I can already just see him just killing his momentum, even if he turns face again. What are you doing?
I'm going to 10 words. I'm trying to figure out how many words it is. I got 10 words for you as it turns to Daniel Bryan's joining the Wyatt clan. Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care, I won Olympic gold. When Steve Austin turned heel.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Daniel Bryan hasn't really turned heel, but when Steve Austin turned heel, it wasn't for very long. He got sort of signs of him turning back, and then he turned back babyface, never got back his momentum ever.
No.
And that's exactly what I see Daniel Bryan said, I joined this group because I want to learn how to be a monster.
Yeah.
And he keeps mentioning the monster. This is 2 weeks in a row now. Remember,
yep.
This is the monster.
Yep.
So it's going somewhere with Kane.
Maybe.
The big red monster. I mean, they don't know, for God's sakes. I mean, that's the other thing, is that they don't have a fucking clue. They didn't. I mean, they, like you said, on the house shows, he was Daniel Wyatt. On one house show,
He beat Wyatt. Yeah.
Yeah. Another one. He didn't. And he left. He shook his hand, and then now he's there, and he's just looking like miniature Duke the Dumpster, or a cable runner from 1989.
Yeah.
And it's just
it's obvious that right now with him not being the focus of the company, what this comes across is you're not the focus of the company. We don't want another incident like we had in Seattle, like we had in Miami that one year.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff where the crowd hijacks the audience or the show for Daniel Bryan. And
I know what the audience wants better than they do, and they don't. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
Is I mean, you look at,
and they're doing this while
Michigan State,
yes.
And on SportsCenter,
yes,
they're announcing WWE and Daniel Bryan by name.
Yes.
Like,
because the team is leading, their crowd in yes chants, and the crowd is doing it.
It's caught on.
Yeah.
Because
fuck, you guys have been waiting for that forever. Something to catch on.
Well,
you got something.
And this caught on. Again, this started. I don't know. I feel like a fucking broken record.
Talk about
Austin 316 in 1996 wins the belt in 98. It takes time.
Yeah.
This thing happened WrestleMania 2000 and what, 12? 11?
Yeah, Mania.
Mania.
Mania, yeah, the Miami.
2012.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Here we are. We're coming up on Mania 2014. It's starting to get some mainstream traction.
Yes.
Right? And college kids are thinking it's cool.
Yeah.
Their little brothers are going to think it's cool, too.
Yeah.
You know, and it's all just, that's what's happening, but they're killing it. And so it doesn't matter.
And
that's
keep in
the
mind,
point.
They've gone out of their way to kill it.
Yes.
And it still kept going, despite them trying to turn him heel or keep him heel, despite him have him coming out there and saying, don't say yes.
No.
And doing the no.
No, yeah.
And trying to make it an ironic thing, despite having people like Big Show and other people,
trying to steal it, yeah.
Sheamus and different people steal it. They've done everything. At the end of the day, when SportsCenter says who it is, they say it's Daniel Bryan, the WWE.
Yeah.
And yeah. But
and then anybody that watched SportsCenter that goes, oh, I wonder who this Daniel Bryan fellow is, they're going to go, oh, the garbage man that hangs out with the homeless guy?
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, oh, click.
Yeah.
You know, and he's not doing this yes thing that they said he'd do. What's?
No, I know.
What's the big deal?
So,
what's the hype about?
And they're very aware of this. They when they're getting pressed, when the fandangoing starts, they hear about it, they try and capitalize on it. This has got to have them, this is a quandary for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now we got this going, but this has happened, what the fuck do we do? How do they react is going to be very interesting to this. And I don't know. I imagine they're going to ignore it regardless.
I think they're just going to ignore it because it doesn't fit in with what they're doing, and it's just, yeah, they'll just ignore that it even happened. So, I mean, it really is baffling because, again,
but they tried to make fandangoing as big as this, and that was always bullshit, and you always knew it.
Yeah.
Whereas this is actually that big, and they don't want to use it. Like
the Raw after WrestleMania was there, and in England it's there. But
they were talking about, they were like the next week on the show, they were talking about, Oh,
yeah.
Next week, they're like, people everywhere are fandangoing. Then they showed, like, three videos of a bunch of losers on YouTube fandangoing.
No, and then...
I'm not saying, say you do a Google video where you're fandangoing. I'm not going to make fun of you, but...
Well, but what it was is that they did show a bunch of people fandangoing, like a different groups fandangoing.
There was like one like mainstream like cheerleading group or something. You know?
Yeah, yeah, one like I forget what it was like. I don't even remember Houston Texans or something. But
something like that,
then,
yeah.
But then every other like it was like if they showed seven people fandangoing or seven groups fandangoing, five of them were from WrestleMania or the Raw after WrestleMania. It was like just different groups of people from that. And it was just like,
and then
don't get me wrong,
the
like,
crowd, they go to the crowd and go, everybody's fandangoing. And they pull them tight to like four or five people fandangoing.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you go to the wide shot and you'd realize there was four or five people in 100.
Yeah.
And it just, you know.
But, I mean, I don't blame them for trying to capitalize on it that way, but I'm just saying.
Well, but the thing is, they weren't capitalizing it. They were trying to create it.
Well,
if they had let it
organically
happen and hadn't shoved it down people's throats, it might have taken off, but people don't want something shoved down their throats. That's the one thing, one of the reasons why Daniel Bryan has taken off like this. He has never been shoved down our fucking throats. The Yes has never been shoved down our throats, unless it's Sheamus or Big Show or somebody fucking stealing it.
Yeah.
Like, it's the opposite.
And well...
It's our thing. We did it despite you.
Yes. And the thing is, and that's why, and part of it, too, is that, you know, when you look at what they've done, and I mean, it's everything we said that they would do. It's, you know, it's the pedigree to Punk. It's all just another instance of, you know, it's not surprising. Let's put it that way. And when he comes out and says, I have voluntarily joined this group and blah, 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 it's like, I just, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, when we said I'm interested because there's lots of possibilities.
Storyline wise, I find it interesting. That doesn't mean that they should personally, but that doesn't mean that they should be doing it. That doesn't mean it's the right thing for business.
Yeah, exactly. It's the opposite of what Hunter's always said. Now it's like here it is that he's in mid card. Yeah, sure. It's probably going to be. I mean, I like Bray Wyatt. I like the whole Wyatt family. I like Daniel Bryan. So this is going to be an interesting mid card time for them now, for me to watch, but when I will just enjoy the ride, but I get, you know, I get that, I don't want to say I'm frustrated because I kind of expected it, but I just kind of get that, like, what could have been?
Yeah.
And it won't be.
No. Brock Lesnar. He's awesome.
He's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? Eat, sleep, conquer,
repeat.
Yeah. Sleep, conquer, repeat, or eat, sleep, conquer, repeat.
I think that's it. Yeah. Or sleep, eat, conquer, repeat. One or the other.
Doesn't
matter.
Yeah. I'm surprised he sleeps.
Yeah. He's awesome. His facial expression.
When he broke Mark Henry's arm, I know that's all I could think of was his eyes, just like wild man. Yeah.
The show picture.
Yeah.
He just has that presence and that charisma.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the performance part so well. It's much more so than he gets credit for. And he's just, and obviously he is a physical freak. And they get that hold over. My thing is, I mean, I don't think Mark Henry's legit hurt again, is he? So my
he's selling it though. He wore the cast at the press conference.
Yeah. So my question for you is, I don't think this is leading up to him. I mean, like I say, you're sacrificing him to make him look like a monster that nobody can beat. Then you put him in there against another monster, making him, and then he beats that, and then he gets Undertaker. I'm just wondering, is it more interest for the crowd? Do they buy it more that he destroys Mark Henry, then faces the Big Show, than if he had destroyed the Big Show and then faces Mark Henry? Is it the same? Is it less? Is it more?
I think it's the same. I think for WWE, for your casual fan, I think, again, the Big Show, because he's bigger,
he's not as strong.
Yeah, I know that in terms of strength, but he's big, and how do you... the way the WWE marketing has always been, so it's not surprising to me that they would go Mark Henry, Big Show, to lead the Taker.
I'm not surprised either. I think, though, it would be more effective the other way. I really do believe so.
I think it would be the same, to be honest.
It may be the same. I think it would be more because I just think the crowd likes Mark Henry more than Big Show. I don't think they dislike Big Show. I just think they're very bored with him.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a little bit of Mark Henry's an underdog and
never really
being as appreciated by them as we appreciate him. So
yeah.
I just think that they would like that more. And I think the idea of marketing him versus, you can market him versus the world's largest athlete, but he isn't. So, I mean, marketing him against the world's strongest man. Like, it was, what, May of this year that he did that thing with the two trucks?
Yeah.
I mean, you fucking show that video again and again and again and then go back to him versus Lesnar. I think it's more effective. Like, I really do.
It could be. It could be. It's not what
I think it's fresher. I'm convinced the reason why this happened, you're saying it's because of them. I don't think it's them. I think it's the fact, look at it. Lesnar's best friends are, Paul Heyman's three best friends in pretty much the whole world, and certainly in wrestling.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar, CM Punk, and The Big Show.
Yeah.
And that's why he's got this spot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that's fine. It's,
yeah, that's fine.
Whatever. I mean, again, it's all leading to a Taker. It's a Brock Lesnar match on the Royal Rumble against
and
the Big
to,
Show.
It seems to, it comes across to me like you're trying to maximize Lesnar to increase buys before the network happens, when it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah, which is smart. Which is smart. I'm trying to think of what else happened on...
Shield.
Yes, the Shield on Piper's Pit. I thought that... I thought that was great. I thought, again, I mean, Piper forgot his line about
yes, he does.
Cracks in the Shield or whatever, and Seth Rollins wasn't smart enough to go with it, just said his line. But I thought Seth Rollins overall was, again, effective.
Yes, I agree.
He is, to me... he's really shining. I don't want to say he's stealing this gimmick or stealing this angle, because he's not, but he's really shining and showing what he can do and kind of seizing this opportunity.
I mean, you talk about the Piper's Pit moment, and I mean, Ambrose was good there, and Reigns was good just sitting there looking quiet and whatever. When he finally said, touch me again, because when he touched his face there.
Yeah,
and then he's like, I'll break you in half. And it came across menacing enough. And then, you know, Reign Rollins. But it really highlighted when I did the main event. It got some This Is Awesome chance. I couldn't believe that because
I didn't
think it was very good.
no, I know.
You know, I mean, I really was watching it thinking, this highlights, I mean, Ambrose for me, I think he's a little too cartoony. But then again, I mean, Kurt Hennig and Terry Funk are cartoony too. If you know, I mean,
yeah.
He's still a fairly young worker, right?
Well, so, Roddy Piper was cartoony.
Yeah. So I mean, that's fine. I mean, Rollins is awesome. It showed to me. I mean, Reigns is not quite in position. He's green. He needs to be carried a little bit. The main thing for me that it showed though is he only has one facial expression.
Yeah.
He needs to. He doesn't sell well, and he doesn't. Show the drama of the match because he only has the one expression. So that's what his facial expressions are where, to me, is his weakest part of his game right now. And where, during the matches, he really needs to work on it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it just showed that how he is behind in the ring the other two.
Mm-hmm.
But you can definitely see, I mean, I like the storyline. I like the way that he won, but the other two helped him win.
Slow build, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's good. And it's well done. We talk about how the Daniel Bryan doesn't work. This is totally working.
Yeah, Rex King and Steve Zoll. It's well done. I think that was good. And then, I mean, when they go to attack Piper, and, I mean, what a motley crew that is that makes the save. CM Punk and the New Age Outlaws.
New Age Outlaws, when they cut their promo, though, I mean, and let's not forget the Mean Gene. Call my hotline.
Well, that was after. That was before the match.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the match.
Like, there are so many backstage scoops and stories I can tell you. Can't talk about it right now. But if you call the hotline.
That was hilarious.
$5.99 a minute.
I mean, a lot, not to, obviously, most people didn't get it, but for
I killed myself. I thought that was hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, the New Age Outlaws, they came out and did their introduction. You're like, wow, talk about, these guys were over, but not main eventers. Way more charismatic than 99% of current.
Oh, yes.
Really showed it. Like, really showed the difference in the eras.
Yes.
So, and I like the Billy Gunn. You gonna let me talk now?
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. But boy, Billy Gunn.
Yes.
Yeah. So he doesn't have to pass a steroid test.
He
obviously.
Does not.
He is not on the wellness policy.
But he's bad.
He's like 50.
He is.
he's the oldest member of DX.
He is badass Billy Gunn again.
He's back to being badass. Yeah.
So they can actually call him badass.
Yeah, but no, he's like, I think he's like 47. He's older than Hunter.
Yeah. Monty Sopp. But I think,
this is the same guy who went by the name, his real name is Monty. He also went by the name Kip.
Yeah.
Before becoming Billy.
Yeah. Well, and nobody could keep that straight. Not even God. Bob, but my name is Billy. It doesn't matter what your name is.
That's true.
Oh, dear God.
The Rock.
But I also, then you had all of, we were talking about the Sergeant Slaughter when the fan voting over Bob Backlund and Arn Anderson to,
Yeah, I kind of thought he would. My problem was that he came out in that ref's outfit, didn't look like Sergeant Slaughter, and I think that hurt the segment when he actually was the referee. Yeah. And I don't think he should have come out in the referee's outfit. I think he should come out like Sergeant Slaughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you not remember when Sergeant Slaughter was the senior referee in charge of officiating for World Wrestling Federation? You remember that storyline? It like went over like a summer, and it's like they did the exact same storyline with.
Remember, when he did the storyline where he was in charge of something, and he ended up facing Triple H at the Generation X pay per view.
That was when he was a commissioner. But no, he was in charge of officiating back when they wore those blue shirts and things. They did the same gimmick with Harvey Whippleman like 3 years later or 2 years later. But it was like 91, 92, and Sergeant Slaughter. Yeah, I was looking and. Might have even been 93 before Whippleman. But anyway, he was this head of officiating. So he looked like that to me.
Okay.
Is basically what it was. But I had thought that, I thought he might win. I would have voted for the, if you're going to get a referee, I think you get the enforcer.
Well,
and
logically.
And they were in Baltimore, so I thought maybe. But
they're not voting.
And Bob Backlund's great. I know they're not voting. That's the thing, right? So, but anyway, so there was that. Then they brought all the legends out towards the end of the show. And when I say all of them, they brought people that were not even on the show.
Yeah.
Like the Godfather let everybody out.
Yeah.
And it was
they just wanted to play his music for the pop.
Well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
It was great. It was like at the Rumble last year when, he did that. But... Flair was with
them. That's one thing at the network. They're going to have uncensored stuff, they say.
Yes.
Which says to me, and why not? Does that mean that we're going to see less PG? I think we're going to see less PG, especially on those pay-per-view oriented products.
I don't think so. I think what it means is they're going to be...
If they show us, if you go and watch DX pay-per-view from... 1998 or 1997, I guess it was December 1997. Was it?
Here's how you spin it, though.
It was. That show had blood.
Yeah, yeah.
You won't censor it now.
No, you won't censor it. Here's how you spin it now, though. Is that any newer non-PG shows are going to be streamed at a non-prime time hour?
Yeah.
Yes, you can go back on demand. We're not able to control that, but what we can control is our streaming. We're a responsible company. We can only control the streaming. We're going to control that. They do have a thing in FAQs on their network site about how parental controls can be set on there as well, so that is the ability to do it on the app is to set parental controls. So.
What about their movies? Are those going to be on there? They should be.
Hmm?
Like See No Evil, things like that.
Oh, I thought you meant like all we're talking about. Yeah, like all their shows are going to be on TV.
We make movies.
They make movies, pal.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I think it could be. I think it could be possible. We could see a slightly less. I'm not talking. You're going back to the Attitude Era, but But I'm saying you're talking things like Billy Gunn can now be badass.
Badass, yeah.
A little bit less of that PG
yeah.
product.
Yeah, it's possible. But again, a lot of that, though, driving or like Mattel and things like that are the sponsorship deals. So, anyway, they had all the guys on the stage. I mean, IRS was there. I mean, he did a thing with Big E Langston telling him to pay his taxes. And then Nikolai Volkov sang the Russian national anthem, which was great. And
no Iron Sheik.
No Sheiky, baby. But DiBiase just
take the bump.
DiBiase just laughed. But yeah, they had DiBiase out there, Arn Anderson. But yeah, lots of these guys.
Bad News Barrett then shows up, and the thing about his gimmick is
it sucks.
Well, it's late. It's like a late '90s NWA gimmick. That's what it comes across to me like when NWA, or maybe even not late '90s, maybe probably more early '90s when it was WCW, and you had like your PN News and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You were kind of aping that WWE 1986. Kid-friendly product, and they were trying to do that, but it wasn't as good. It was low rent.
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's
low
what it comes
rent.
Across to me. So not even like an 80s, like a 1987 WWF gimmick. It's more like a 1992 WCW gimmick. Like I say, when you're doing Master Blaster and Oz and Diamond Stud.
Bad Street.
Yeah, this You know, so that's how it comes across to me.
Yeah.
And too bad, because he's doing his best with it, and he still has a good promo, but his material sucks.
Yeah, the material sucks.
He's trying.
But then, then you do your...
But he needs to have a match, and so does Kane. Christ, Kane needs to wrestle a match.
I don't think Kane does. I don't miss
Kane. I think Kane needs to kill somebody if you want to take him seriously still.
I don't really want to take him seriously.
Show
he can
still be in a suit and kill somebody. Then again, I'm okay if he's retired permanently.
Yeah.
And then wrestles another match, too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm like that. Yeah, apparently something with Bad News Barrett is set to happen in the next couple of weeks.
He should do the Bad News, talk about people winning the lottery or whatever, but every single time he should just throw out somebody's name, and the same guy every week. Just like a one line.
Yeah.
And then just move on. Just to set the plant the seeds.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Then
the main event.
Main event.
The finish of the main event. You know, the Shield is beating down Punk and the New Age Outlaws. There's a brawl there, and all of a sudden you hear boom, 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 and you can see the green lights kind of on the screen, and I'm hearing the boom, 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 and it's not clicking for me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, who the fuck?
I should know this music, but
I'm
it's not clicking.
Who is this here that... And then all of a sudden it was like... Then it hit, then it...
The more familiar.
Yeah. Just as he comes out, and it was like, yeah, looking good. Jake the Snake Roberts.
And you say you got chills from it.
I did. It was great.
Yeah,
it was like the... Because the reaction was great. And
it was a solid reaction.
And the,
I don't think it was great.
The announcers, I think, were overselling it.
Yeah.
But it was good to see Jake back again. Jake hasn't been around
since... Dean Ambrose, whose persona and promo style reminds me very much of Jake. And had
funny. It reminds me of Jake and Piper. And
yeah,
he was in there with both.
He's in there
today.
With both. He loves getting the snake on him. He's smiling.
Oh, grinning from ear to ear,
yeah.
And the fans were chanting.
Revelations. I mean, that looked more like Revelations.
It was Revelations, yeah.
So, Cole called it Damien number two because he's a fucking idiot.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And Ice Bag. And highlights of this, the fans going DDT, DDT. Never got DDT, but DDT, DDT. I don't know. I think it was Road Dogg.
Mm-hmm.
We're PG.
Yeah,
did you hear that?
Warning him.
Yeah.
Not to use it.
We're PG. We're PG.
Not to use a snake like a dick.
Yeah.
But he wasn't going to do that.
No.
He looked really good. The thing that I can say that because he was here in Calgary a year and a half ago.
Right.
And I had a chance to interview him in audio that got lost, well, ruined, because the company I currently work for put an event on right behind us that was incredibly loud and ruined the entire interview.
You ruined it!
You know, though it was actually a Saskatoon-based section of the company I worked in, not, I don't know why the hell they were there, but anyway.
They have television in Saskatoon?
Yeah, I know. But you know, it's a great company. I don't want to say anything bad about my company. Not that they listen.
No.
Fuckers. But I wouldn't say anything bad about him.
No.
But, yeah, I mean, he looked awful.
For instance, he'd never say your boss is, no.
No, but he looked, I mean, he was really bad here. I mean, when I tried to talk to him, he was all over the map.
Mm.
He thought he was just fucking with me, but I think in the end of the, he wasn't, because, I mean, he was out of it. He was out of it when he did the panel that he did, the P-anal.
P-anal, that's right.
He was taking off all the time instead of staying in line. Disappearing, the people were trying to find him. He looked tired, worn out. He looked like he was shaking.
yeah.
Like he was a really, he didn't look good. I mean, it was pretty sad to see. So to see him here and see the difference, he looked well rested. He looked relaxed, happy. He looked younger, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously in better shape. It was good to see. Now, I didn't get the chills personally. I didn't have that kind of emotional reaction to it. But I thought it was just nice to see. So
it was great to see Jake back.
I think it's nice to see that he's in good shape.
He can go in the Rumble. He can DDT a guy, gets thrown out.
That's where you save the DDT.
He can
do it in the Rumble. And the other thing is, I could very well see DDP also in the Rumble now.
I could very well see DDP inducting Jake the Snake into the Hall of Fame.
That as well. I think both of those things are highly likely.
Yeah. I think the Jake and Warrior is your 1-2 punch for the Hall of Fame.
And do their average, do some a tag team, do a woman, do a
who cares a after that, really, right? Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Do Jerry Jarrett.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
That would be funny.
Hey, he was going to take over the company when Vince was going to go to jail.
That's it, exactly. Yeah. Kozlov could induct him.
just look it up.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's about it, right?
I think we may have condensed it, packed it all in there, I think.
Much like I have to do to your mom.
Right, yeah. Well, luckily for you, it's already condensed. It's practically powdered.
Just add moisture.
Oh, yes. Yes. We're still working on that.
All right.
But, yeah, I can't think of anything else that we need to tizoc about, so we'll hit...
How about the fact that Miz sucks? Miz.
Oh, the Miz sucks. Yeah, Mizark Henry doesn't suck.
Oh, no. He's great.
No. Yeah. Yeah, the Jizz sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks donkey dink.
He's a what?
Well, he's a cocksucking motherfucker, as you all know.
No, just a cocksucking motherfucker.
Hmm?
You never had that herb before.
No?
No.
Oh. Maybe it's a new year.
That's
what I wasn't being an asshole, was that I just called him a cocksucking motherfucker. Now that I am being an asshole, I could say that he's a cocksucking motherfucker.
Ah.
See the difference? See? That's the That's the asshole part. My New Year's resolution is going fabulously. In fact, I was walking across the street to go to work this morning. There was like a 7-year-old woman walking, had a cane, kicked it.
The cane. It was coming to the ring with her?
Because
of her age?
Right.
Like Triple H?
Like Triple H, yeah.
Jesus, Kane.
Kane. Nope. But, it's going swimmingly. So.
All right, let's get out of here.
All right, let's word to your mother.
It's going to be O-U-T.
Yeah, so WeTalkWrestling.com is where to go and get all the shows. iTunes. You can subscribe to We Talk Wrestling on iTunes as well. Addie, at WeTalkWrestling.com. is how you can email us. We're on Twitter at WeTalkWrestling, Facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling as well. So lots of great ways to get a hold of us and interact with us via the social media network and online. So that's going to be great. So that's going to do it for yet another week. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
No, don't do that. You're going to hit the pause on this one, aren't we?
I don't have pause.
You don't have pause?
No.
Oh, well then hit stop.
Leave me alone.
Coach still looking.
Hey.
Well, where are the noises coming from down here?
Freakish noises. Right over there.
Right here, that door?
Yes.
I hope Coach finds Undertaker. Look at the pins on him.
Oh, my goodness. The pins.
Oh.
Mean Gene?
Yes.
Mean Gene Oakland.
Yes.
What are you doing?
I'm here for the Hall of Fame ceremony tonight. You know that.
No. What are you doing in there, Gene?
Well, I've been checking out the fights. You know, this is Madison Square Garden. We're down at the bowels. Oh, fight. Yeah.
Bob the Brain Heenan.
Hey, how you been?
Wait a second. You two were just in there.
No, it's not what you think. Him and I. No, we were...
Guys, I heard you.
We were playing cards.
Yeah. Poker.
We were playing poker. He was
poker.
Dealing.
Yeah. Well, if that's the case, I think I heard other voices in there, guys. I want to know what's going on in there, and I want to know now.
Nothing in there.
Nothing
going on
there.
No.
Oh, Lula and Mae Young, what a small world.
Hey.
I can't believe it.
Hey. Nice seeing you again.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
you're killing my puppy.
No, they're barking. I haven't been well. My doctor wanted me to go. Come on. No, please. Please.